Happy Thursday to you, particularly if you are a college football fan, as we settle in for a couple of segments setting up the week that starts tonight. Phil Steele, year number 47 for us talking college football, and maybe today, milliseconds of baseball. Phil, of course, I am Houston-based. You are Cleveland-based. Are you really a zero on the 0 to 10 scale of interest in Astros, Indians, or are you caught up in just a scintilla, the teeniest of iotas?
To be perfectly honest with you, Charlie, I knew that the Indians had made the playoffs, but I didn't know who they were playing until you just told me right now. So that's exciting. When is the first game?
Tomorrow.
Okay,
in Houston.
That is great.
In Houston.
I won't be watching, but that's good.
But I know you'll be watching what's going on in Houston tonight. So let's start with it as the Cougars play their American Athletic Conference opener. We're approaching the 50-year anniversary, Phil, of U of H beating Tulsa 100-6 back in 1968. I'm pretty confident it'll be closer than that tonight, but U of H favored 17.5, 18. Maybe your thumbnail on where the Cougars are starting conference play against the Tulsa team that did give a decent game to Texas.
I like Houston to win the game tonight, and clearly when you look at conference play, you know, they've got to play both Navy and Memphis on the road, but neither Navy or Memphis is as good as I thought they were coming into the year. So I think Houston definitely has a chance of winning the division. Now, as far as tonight's game goes, I think Tulsa will give them a closer game than the 18 points, just because I'm pretty high on Tulsa. You talked about the Texas game. That was a 21-14 game. Texas gets a TD. Tulsa answers only a 7-point game in the end. They played a very good Arkansas State team, only lost by 9. And then the Temple game, you know, they had a 403-300 yard edge at Temple. And in that game, a 32-16 first down edge. They were done in by -3 in turnovers. If Luke Skipper, who, by the way, has 6 interceptions so far this year, can avoid doing the turnover, I think Tulsa will give Houston a game tonight. I like Houston to win the game, but I would take the points in Tulsa.
All right, Phil, a couple of ACC games. Miami, Florida State used to be so fun. Game of the year type matchup as it approached every regular season. Hurricanes favored 12.5 over the Noles. Actually higher than that as I check the updated numbers.
Yeah, the numbers are actually coming up to 14 now on that game. So it's one of those where you could play the game on paper or you could play the game on the field. And if you play the game on paper, there's no doubt Florida State is an underachieving team this year. They have a woeful offense. The offensive line, one of the worst in the country, and it's taken on a team that leads the NCAA in TFLs, and that's Miami of Florida. So that's a bad matchup right there to begin with. And then on the flip side of the coin, Florida State's defense, which was thought to be pretty good at the start of the year, only holding opponents to 44 yards below their season average, which is number 55. Miami's is living up to potential. Number 4 in the country, holding opponents to 154 yards below. But it is a rivalry game, and the underdog has dominated this series, going 15-5. Most of the matchups are within 7 points. Last year, Miami needed a last-second touchdown to come out with the win. And there are just games, Charlie, where when the game is over, you look at it and you say, how did that happen? And then my only possible conclusion is rivalry underdog. There's been plenty of games throughout the years like that. I always like to side with the rivalry underdog. I'm going to take the points with Florida State. Play it on paper. Miami wins by 24, but I'm going to take the points. I think Florida State gives them a game there.
All right, Phil. Clemson failed to cover by more than 20 points last week, if not darn out chicanery and thievery. Nice comeback with the third string quarterback. Isn't it funny how some things work? Kelly Bryant quits the team, so of course Trevor Lawrence gets hurt. And then the third stringer leads them to victory. Huge fourth down conversion. I'd say, any sort of letdown spot giving 17 at Wake. A big game with North Carolina State is next for Clemson, but that's after an open week next week, so I wouldn't think they should be looking that far ahead.
Yeah, and Charlie, I actually use Syracuse on both my ESPN selections and inside the press box selections last week. So I was rooting for your Orange Men the entire game and rather comfortably. That feel pretty good when you're winning by 10 points in the fourth quarter, getting 25, I believe it was. So that was nice. But I think you're going to see a different Clemson team on the field this week. Last week, they were coming off playing the option of Georgia Tech. And I think now after a close call, you're going to see that defense play pretty well. And with Wake, you know, Sam Hartman's doing a good job at QB, but not a great job. And I think that it's an offense that's beatable. I think Clemson's defense will be able to get some penetration on them. They gave up 4 sacks to Boston College, 3 sacks to Notre Dame. They just lost to Notre Dame at home by 29 points 2 games ago. So as much as I like Wake, this is a Clemson team that won't look past Wake. We'll have a pretty good part of the crowd as well, I think. I like Clemson to win this one by more than the 17 points.
All right, Phil, a hypothetical point spread. UCLA against Nebraska. 0-4. 0-4. The brand names alone, this is amazing, though you look at how they played and it's not so amazing. The Huskers are 21-point underdogs at Wisconsin. UCLA is a 21-point underdog at home to Washington. If there's a shocker, which would you go with?
Of the two, I would take Nebraska. And if Nebraska was playing UCLA, neutral field, Charlie, or
yeah,
one of them
yeah,
at
let's
home?
Go neutral. A bowl neutral. Game.
Yeah, if it's a neutral field, I'm going to take Nebraska by 6. When I look at Nebraska this year, they have been competitive. They, you know, Colorado's undefeated in the Pac-12. Nebraska had a 170-yard edge on them. When they played Troy, they got that punt return touchdown. They had a 22-12 first down edge, but came up short on the scoreboard. And even last week against Purdue, while they trailed most of the game, or almost all the game, they had a 7-0 lead, and after that they trailed, they still had a 582-516-yard edge. Now, the Michigan game on the road, that was ugly, but that was a motivated Michigan. And Wisconsin is a team that we've seen them waffle through a lot of first halves, and then in the second half, they start to pour it on. But I think if there was to be an upset, and I think the odds of either of those two happening are almost slim and none, I would lean a little bit with Nebraska. As far as the Nebraska-Wisconsin game goes, Wisconsin's actually only favored by 17. I think that has a lot to do with the fact that Michigan's on deck. I would still take Wisconsin off a bye almost any day of the week. That Wisconsin offensive line just keeps firing out when they're off a bye. I think they're 10-2 against the spread, or 12-2 against the spread off a bye. Now, UCLA against Washington, on the other hand, you know, the Bruins are one of the least experienced teams in college football, playing one of the nation's toughest schedules, and they're switching schemes both offensively and defensively, and they pretty much have played exactly like that. And this is a Washington team that's starting to peak. Jake Browning last week, 23-25 for 277 yards. One of the best defenses in the country, holding opponents 109 yards per game below their season average. They've got Gaskin and Ahmed in the backfield running the football. And they haven't had a lot of success in Pasadena. Not a great track record there. So I think they will come focused, even with the Ducks on deck. I like Washington to go on the road and then win that one comfortably.
Phil, I may have missed one, but I think the only winless teams in FBS are UTEP, San Jose State, two just terrible programs, UCLA and Nebraska. That is just dumb
amazing
to me.
Yeah, it's amazing that you throw UCLA and Nebraska down there with the other ones.
And meanwhile, Colorado, well, Mike McIntyre is doing work the last year plus. 4-0, you like the Buffs giving inside a field goal at Arizona State?
You know, this is going to be a great game. You know, you look at Arizona State, and they're a team that's more battle-tested. I mean, they beat Michigan State. They went into Washington, only lost by 7. They played San Diego State in between that. It's a battle-tested Arizona State team. Who the heck has Colorado played? Toughest opponent are two of the teams you just mentioned, Charlie, Nebraska and UCLA. And they've also played Colorado State, which is having a miserable season, and an FCS team. But look at these two teams, and I think you're going to find them very similar. Each one has a triplet on the offense. In other words, Colorado's got running back Travion McMillan, who's averaging 7.3 yards per carry, one of the most improved quarterbacks in the country, and Steven Montez, who's completing 74% of his passes, and then an NFL-caliber receiver in Laviska Shenault. Coach McIntyre pointed him out to me in the spring. He only had 7 receptions last year, but he's got 581 yards already, 15.3 per catch. Well, Arizona State answers with their own triplets. Eno Benjamin had over 300 yards against Oregon State last week. Manny Wilkins can hurt you running or passing. He's got a 10-1 ratio, and then arguably the best wide receiver for the draft, N'Keal Harry. Defenses are close. I give a slight edge to Arizona State, but Arizona State on the road over the last 4 years is 4-13. Colorado at home the last 3 years is 11-3. Talking straight up, but straight up when the line's 2, you can do that. And Colorado's at home for a 4th straight week, which I think raises their altitude advantage. So add it all up, I think these teams are very close. I like Colorado to win a close one, and I think it should be more than the 2-point spread in Vegas.
One more before we get to our break, Phil. Notre Dame, very impressive over Stanford. The Irish undefeated, giving 5.5, 6 points. Virginia Tech, I know you dig the whole Enter Sandman thing, the Hokies home at night. Then again, a couple weeks ago, they lost to Old Dominion.
That was on the road.
True.
No, I do love the home field edge that Virginia Tech has, and really love Enter Sandman. It's one of my favorite entrances in college football. And, you know, Bud Foster, I got to say, he's got to be one of the greatest defensive coordinators in the game today. What he is doing with this young, inexperienced Virginia Tech defense is amazing. I mean, what they did to Florida State, what they did to Duke last week, holding them to 327 yards. But he's doing it with smoke and mirrors. In fact, on the season, they're allowing foes 49 yards above their season average. And I think that's going to get exploited here. Notre Dame comes in with a run game that's almost unstoppable. And they just got back Dexter Williams last week. If you watch him against Stanford, 161 yards, 7.7 yards per carry. Ian Book, he's been the difference. Last year's Notre Dame team, stop the run, you win the game. This year, if you try to stop the run, Ian Book hits you for 74% in a 7-0 ratio. And he looked great, great pocket presence last week, everything. So their offense will be able to exploit a young Virginia Tech defense. And this Notre Dame defense is legit. Last week, they had a 550 to 229-yard edge against Stanford. I think they slow down Virginia Tech, which is using backup quarterback Ryan Willis. Willis threw for 300 yards last week in his first start. Not bad, but it's going to be a little bit different here. They're not the underdog, or not the road underdog like they were in a quiet setting. This is going to be a big-time setting. I like the Irish. I think talent-wise they're there. And I like them to win this one by two touchdowns after they get over the emotion of Virginia Tech's entrance.
Among our games coming back with Phil, LSU at Florida. Major SEC game, the Aggies and nationally ranked Kentucky. And we'll close with OU UT State Fair weekend up in Dallas. Continuing our weekly college football preview with Phil Steele. Multiple games to get to after Phil tells you where you can catch some of his content beyond our little couple segments here. I'll start with philsteele.com, and you can carry the ball now, Phil.
Well, I appreciate that, Charlie. Yeah, philsteele.com, and tomorrow morning I'll have a nice little inside the press box where you can, or not inside the press box, but you can go through the Phil Steele Plus and get some plays for free. That's philsteele.com tomorrow morning. Right now on ESPN.com/Phil Steele, you can pick up on my top plays of the week. So go to ESPN.com/Phil Steele and get all those great plays. Plus, get my Vegas power ratings and much more. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele. And if you want all the games for this weekend, I cover all 55 games this weekend. My computer's projection, yards rushing, yards passing, points, my projection on each game. Sometimes I agree with the computer, sometimes I don't. Get both our mine and my computer projection on all 55 games, complete write-up, complete statistical breakdown, InsideThePressBox.com. And when you go to InsideThePressBox.com and you mention the code word REDZONE, you can take 50% off this week's newsletter. So that's 50% off this week's newsletter when you type in the code word REDZONE. That's at InsideThePressBox.com.
All right, Phil, back to the board. I want to ask you about Central Florida, the defending national champions. 18-game winning streak. I presume you like them over SMU. The number's 24. I'm wondering what you would gauge the Golden Knights' prospects of running the table again are in the regular season. Cincinnati's undefeated. I think that, though, is at UCF later this season.
You know, right now, I would favor them in every game and probably by at least a touchdown in every game. And, yes, definitely by a touchdown in every game. I think UCF has a great shot of running the table. At the start of the year, I thought the toughest foes would be Memphis. Memphis really struggled against Tulane last week. They've got the weapons, you know, with Brady a quarterback and then with Henderson a running back, but I still think UCF at home in Bright House would be a good-sized favorite there. At Temple could be a little tricky, especially if it's Philadelphia weather in November. You get a little snow, and Temple usually peaks in the second half of the year. That might be the trickiest game on the remainder. Playing Navy's option's always tough, but Navy's really been down this season. Cincinnati, as you mentioned, but I really don't think the Bearcats are in the same talent level as UCF, and I think UCF has an advantage over USF as well. So they'll be at least a touchdown favorite in every single game the rest of the year.
Yeah, just an eye a couple of months down the road. Maybe it's U of H with a shot against a team that's won 25 in a row, whatever the streak would be. To the SEC, Phil, Mississippi State, an egg lay in the Mullen Bowl. Trying to rebound at home against Auburn, lines about a field goal.
Yeah, and Auburn's favorite. If you watch this game the last 2 years, Auburn has absolutely dominated. Last year at home, they won the game 49-10. And in 2016, Auburn went here and led 35-0 at the half. Wasn't even a game. Now, this year's Mississippi State team is better than those two squads. I don't think Auburn is anywhere near what they were last year. In fact, Auburn's run game has gone out the window with Kerryon Johnson. Remember when Kerryon Johnson left or was injured at the end of last year, they struggled to run the football? It's continued. Arkansas, they had 91 yards rushing, 2.5 yards per carry. Southern Miss, 96 yards rushing, 2.7 yards per carry. The Arkansas game was one of the biggest misleading finals of the season. They were outgained by Arkansas, 290-225, yet won and covered a 30.5 point spread, winning by 31. That was remarkable. So Auburn comes in struggling offensively. Mississippi State just comes in struggling offensively as well. 201 yards against Kentucky, 202 against Florida. Pretty much their game is run Nick Fitzgerald on a quarterback draw and hand off to Kylan Hill. They haven't really had a pass attack. Auburn does have a pass attack with Jared Stidham. Defensively, I'm going to give the edge to Auburn. I think Auburn's a better team, but the cowbells are going on. Auburn's actually a little more than a field goal favorite here, so I'll take the home underdog between two struggling teams, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I got this something like 16-13. Two struggling offenses, two outstanding defenses.
All right, Phil, LSU at Florida this next month for the Tigers. Ooh, at Florida this week, LSU, small favorite. The Gators off the win against Mississippi State. Then three straight at home for LSU. Two of the three are Georgia and Alabama. First things first, what do you think, LSU in the swamp?
You know, when I look at LSU, they've got the best resume of any team in the country. To go and face Miami of Florida on the road, beat them like they did, and then you look at what Miami's done since then. Miami's dominated every single opponent they've played, except for LSU, which LSU just dominated that game, leading 27-3 at the half. Then how about going into Jordan-Hare and beating Auburn? Last year, Alabama and Georgia both lost at Jordan-Hare, so those are two very impressive wins. But both times, LSU was the underdog. They were playing the respect card, and they delivered. Well, now Florida can play that respect card. Why? Well, LSU's number 5 in the country, and they're favored in this game, and Florida is a home underdog. Now, Florida's defensive front 7 at the start of the year had some suspensions and some injuries. They're getting their players back, and it sure showed last week. They held Mississippi State to 49 yards in the second half, while the offense piled up over 200 yards. So you've got a defense that's really coming on, taking on an LSU offense that really got going last week, but it was against the Mississippi defense. This is a different animal. This is Florida's defense in the swamp as an underdog. I think you get the A++ game. And Dan Mullen, by the way, 4-0 against the spread his last four games against LSU. I like the Gators to pull the upset here because LSU is not playing the underdog card for once.
All right, Phil, no need to hold your nose. Rice or UTSA?
I like Rice. And I like these guys for a couple of reasons here. When you look at UTSA, here's an interesting stat for you, Charlie. When I was writing my Inside the Press Box, I found this. Rice has given up 484 yards per game on offense, right? Well, that's only 7 yards above what their opponents average. They've taken on some pretty good offenses. Hawaii, Houston, Wake Forest, so they're doing well there. UTSA, their last two games, 272, 268 yards. They're averaging 265 yards on offense. So if Rice gives them 7 yards more than they're averaging, that's 272, about what they had at home against Texas State, about what they had at home against UTEP. They're not going to move the football that much. Meanwhile, Rice, offensively, I love the run game. Asumco was the man early on, but Austin Walder's really come on, and they're averaging 4.9 yards per carry now. So Rice has an offense. UTSA doesn't. I like Rice at home to get the win.
All right, Phil, that leaves two to hit. Let's start with A&M at home against 13th-ranked, undefeated Kentucky. Boy, Coach Cal has it going. Maybe he's helping Mark Stoops with recruiting. Aggies favored 5.5, 6.
You know, and I talked to defense coordinator Matt House of Kentucky this spring before the magazine came out, and as we went over the team, he said, Phil, this is the first time we have had a legitimate SEC defensive line. Strong statement. Guess what? They do. Kentucky looks great at the line of scrimmage this year. They're averaging 5.8 yards per carry. They're giving up 3.6 yards per carry. They manhandled Florida at the line of scrimmage. They manhandled Mississippi State at the line of scrimmage with an 18-11 edge. I love this Kentucky team. Benny Snell, Terry Wilson at quarterback. But this is an unusual setting. It's 12th man. It's College Station. And while Texas A&M's 3-2, and folks are wondering why they're a 5-point favorite, well, it's because their two losses are to Clemson, by 2 points, by the way, and Alabama. Well, most teams are going to lose to Clemson and Alabama. I've been impressed with Kellen Mond. I like the Aggie defense this year. I think they're actually allowing opponents 89 yards below their season average. I think the two teams are close talent-wise. A slight edge, I think, to Texas A&M. The home field edge is big enough for me here. I like the Aggies to win this one at home.
All right, Phil. And lastly, at the State Fair, one of the great settings in college football, especially when both teams are good, Oklahoma and Texas. I'm thinking a la Miami, Florida State. Longhorns plus the 7.5. They're usually close games. What do you think?
Yeah, last 4 years have all been decided by 7 or less, and yet Vegas sets a number above 7. Well, I'm taking the dog. Definitely. There's 7.5. It was 8. Come down to 7.5. May come down to 7 by game time, so make sure you get it now. And while Oklahoma has the offense, no ifs, ands, and buts about it. In fact, Kyler Murray has got Baker Mayfield's stats. I mean, he's hitting 71% with a 17-2 ratio. He's on pace to match Mayfield's passing numbers of last year. But, they have played Florida Atlantic, UCLA, Iowa State, Army, and Baylor. Those five teams have combined for exactly one win over a Power 5 opponent this year, so it's been a very light schedule. Texas, on the other hand, took on a ranked USC. They took on a ranked TCU, and they've come out pretty good. A nice 4-1, if not for that poor start against Maryland. No doubt, though, offensively, I'm going to give Oklahoma the edge. Defensively, clear edge to Texas. Holding opponents to 63 yards below their season average, Oklahoma is allowing their opponents 17 yards above their season average. So better defense, dog in a rivalry game. These games are always close. And I think Keontae Ingram finally back to full health. He's averaging 6.1 yards per carry, a running back. I like Texas to possibly pull the upset here, but I'm definitely taking the points.
And it's clear cut. If the Longhorns win, they immediately become the strong favorite to win the Big 12 regular season. West Virginia plays at Texas, first weekend of November. Phil, enjoyed it. Bunch of games as always. Cover your info again on the way out.
Heck of a guy, Charlie. Once again, check out my stuff on ESPN every week. Vegas Power Ratings. Get my top 5 plays of the week right now. ESPN.com/Phil Steele will take you there. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Now, check out my Inside the Press Box newsletter that is available be available this afternoon. That is InsideThePressBox.com. When you type in the code word Red Zone, you can take 50% off this week's issue. That's all 55 games covered. My computer breaks down all 55 games. I break down all 55 games. And that is InsideThePressBox.com, InsideThePressBox.com. And don't forget to check out PhilSteele.com tomorrow morning for a nice little Phil Steele Plus presentation. You get a free 6 or 7 plays, games we haven't even touched on here on today's radio call.
Phil, one word answer is fine. We're not going to screw up against Pitt, right?
No, so I got like Syracuse to win this week.
Right. Hey, Phil, thanks again. We will catch up next Thursday.
All right. Have a good one, Charlie.
Astros Indians during commercials, maybe. Yeah, there you go. Probably not.